I'm Norman Crusoe.
Steven, Peter Molyneux has left Lionhead Studios and Microsoft and formed his own company.
I'm Steven Duncan. Does this mean Fable's gonna stop sucking now?
And this is the Level 7 Podcast. And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, it's good to be back.
It is. It's kind of unfortunate we had to come here today when my allergies are flaring up, but...
And your hatred for Fables flaring up, too.
Yeah, but I have that controlled medication.
Okay. So, before we get into the topics, just curious, why the hate on Fable?
I didn't get into the original Fable because it was on the Xbox, and I didn't have that big brick in my house.
Okay.
So, didn't really care about the second one. When the third one came out, I heard a lot of hype over it, especially from some of the guys, at work that I was talking to. So, I was like, okay, I'll check out Fable 2 since it's, like, worth a nickel now. And I tried Fable 2, and it was terrible. I wish I had that 10 hours of my life back. Okay. It was like playing Monopoly with very, very clunky sword fighting in between.
The Monopoly guy killing people.
Yeah. Like, if I had thought of that, I'd have tried to make my character have a top hat, but I was too pissed off at the game.
Well, in this episode of the Level 7 Podcast, we're talking about the next Xbox, some new rumors about it.
We're talking about Diablo 3 again.
Oh, Jesus. And our main topic, just a small catch-up. What are you up to? That's our main topic. Just what we're up to these days, you know, gaming-wise, and what we're looking forward to. And
yeah, it's definitely going to stick to gaming-wise, because I'm pretty sure no one cares that you and I both just work our ass off all the time.
That's right. No one cares. And that makes it harder.
If you don't cry on air, Norm, because that'll just make me cry.
Okay. Well, Microsoft has lifted the number of achievement points for new Xbox arcade games to 400 points. Sony doesn't seem to care, leaving their trophy system intact. Steven, do you care about the increase of points?
Not really. I would care a little bit more if they retroactively increased some of the points. Mainly because I have a perfect score on Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and I have had that perfect score for years now, and I just want more stuff to do in that game.
So you want them to go back and add more achievements?
Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool, and like give, you know, a little bit extra spice to some of your older games. I know a lot of markets are into that. They always focus on moving forward, and they don't really worry about their back catalog. But I would like to see that, if for nothing else but for Castlevania Symphony of the Night. But other than that, the achievement increase isn't going to sway me one way or the other on whether I'm going to buy a game. It doesn't sway me one way or the other on whether I'm going to pick it up on Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah, I think I guess I don't really see the appeal of achievement points.
Right.
I had one friend who would rent games purely to get the achievement points. Like, he would find out which games were super easy, and he would get the 1,000 achievement points. Yeah. And then I don't understand, like, what do you get if you have a lot of achievement points? Is it just bragging rights?
Pretty much. Yeah. And, like, for me, the only reason I like achievement points and trophies and things like that is if I'm playing, let's stick with Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It had a achievement for beat the game as Richter, which I had never done, so I went and did it to get that achievement to show myself, like, look, you finally achieved this. That could have been worth 1 point, it could have been worth 1,000 points, and I didn't care. I just wanted to know that I did it and I had proof of it.
You know what would be cool? Speaking of retroactively adding achievement points, if somebody had a website where, like, they made up achievement points for, like, old, like, Nintendo games...
Well, look at you, you brilliant mastermind of the internet, you.
That's a great idea. Let's do it.
Yeah, you now have your new website.
Okay.
Norm, Kickstarter has funded another game. The Wasteland 2 project has raised $1 million in only a week. Given the success of Kickstarter fundings, will this become a trend?
It certainly could be. I think game companies are starting to notice, wow, I don't have to take out a loan. I don't have to get corporate sponsorship. You know, I just have the fans pay for it.
And that would be nice, too, when you mentioned the corporate sponsorship, because we are moving more towards corporate sponsorship, and it would be nice to have games not have commercials in them.
Yeah, very true. But I also have a problem with this because, you know, the fans are going to fund the game. Well, who's going to pay for it when the game comes out?
Supposedly, whoever funds the Kickstarter gets certain perks depending on how much you pay.
Yeah, and that's true.
I would imagine whoever didn't pay for it at the Kickstarter, phase will pay for it. Because things like this, like for The Wasteland 2, I think that will generate enough income. And for those who don't know, Wasteland was the precursor to Fallout.
Right.
I just wanted to clear that up.
I think it's fine that companies are doing it, because if you have fans that want to see another game, they're going to pay for it, and they're going to they want to see it made. I just hope that they keep it, I guess, clean. Is the word?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to get shady and
right. And I did read an article on the Kickstarter trend as I was surfing the interwebs that would have made you very happy, and it made me happy. It was the five JRPGs that you want to see resurrected through Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned the Mother/Earthbound series. And for me, they mentioned the Breath of Fire series.
Yes. New Mother series. Just after saying Sega had started to treat Sonic right, they've announced there's no plans to release a Sonic 4 episode after the second one. Did we speak too soon about the upswing of Sonic?
Yeah, we probably did. This is kind of Sega's MO, that there's always like this pretty good Sonic game, and you think, oh, they're turning it around, they're actually going to treat the franchise right, and then it just kind of all falls to hell.
Why even? I don't understand why even make it into episodes if you're only going to release two of them.
Right. And I think I think they had episodic content thinking that was a better business model. But I don't see any. I haven't seen any reports that suggest that episodic content is financially more beneficial than anything else.
Why not just hold off on the game and just release both episodes as one big game and call it Sonic 4?
Right. And I guess it just made too much sense. Maybe that's what it was.
And Sonic 4 didn't get, like, super great reviews or anything.
Right.
They could have taken their time. And I played it, and the physics just seem a little off.
Yeah, it Sonic does seem to move a little weird in that game. I wasn't a big fan of the demo, so I didn't really pick it up.
Yeah, he moves a lot better in Sonic Generations.
I'm going to take your word on that.
You will.
But he, like I said, this really is Sega's MO. This is what they're going to do. And here in like 2 years, we're going to get a good Sonic game and go, he's back. And then they're going to release like Sonic 5. And it's going to be like nothing but Tails levels.
It's the Sonic cycle, man.
It is. And I mean, that's a shame that you treat your iconic character like that.
You know what I think? I think Sonic needs to end. I think it's run its course. I think it's time to just abandon the Sonic franchise.
Yeah, a part of me agrees with that. I don't see this series getting any better. The next Xbox is rumored to come out in 2013 without a disc drive. going for a digital distribution instead of the classic physical mediums. Do you think there's any truth to this? And if so, how will the brick and mortar stores cope with the change?
Okay. I think there is a lot of truth to this, because I think this is the way a lot of entertainment is going. You look at movies, TV shows, you can get them all digitally now. You don't need to... I mean, DVDs are dying. It's all digital. And I think it'll go that way with video games. And how will brick and mortar stores cope? Well, I hope GameStop crashes and burns. No offense to anyone that works there. I, you know, I worked there for 3 years. I'm fine with GameStop going out of business. Best Buy will be fine, I'm sure, because they sell other stuff. Walmart sells other stuff. I am worried about the little local stores, but most local stores, they sell like the older retro games too. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's their main source of money. But I think this is a really awesome idea.
I'm not too keen on the idea. I've told you this, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on air. I'm old and decrepit. I like my physical mediums. I still like buying DVDs. I still like buying actual games and actually touching the object.
What if they had an option where you can pay a little extra and you can have the physical copy of it?
Then I would pay that little extra and get the physical copy.
Okay.
I do that now with my music. I still buy CDs. Now, iTunes can burn in hell.
Now, with the digital distribution, games might be a lot cheaper. Would you there's come around to that?
They might be cheaper, but there's nothing currently that's showing that's saying that they're going to do that. Because there are digital versions of games, but if there's a $60 version or a $60 physical medium, they still sell it for $60 because that'll help boost their profit margins. So I don't think that it's going to dramatically decrease anything, because there's still, you know, the production costs for everything, especially for AAA titles, are still through the roof, and they're going to try to get as much money as they can out of us.
Well, they should reduce the prices, in my opinion.
Oh no, I agree, but you have to run a business.
That's true. So that's it for our first four topics, and when we come back, we'll play a little catch up. Not the condiment. We'll catch up on what we're doing. Yes. And we'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, we don't really have like a set topic this week. We're just going to kind of talk about what we're up to.
Yeah, especially since I don't know about you, Norm. I felt kind of guilty missing out on last week's episode. Just to assure everybody, I did not skip out on last week's episode because of Mass Effect 3.
We just have real lives that require a lot of work.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but we record when we can.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's recording tonight.
Yeah. So, Steven, what are you up to gaming-wise? I don't want to know, you know, what's in your closet or, you know, what you're wearing.
I don't want to know what's in my closet either.
Okay, so I know you recently got the Shin Megami game on DS.
Yes, we can definitely start there because that's not as predictable. I did get the new Devil Summoner, which is Devil Summoner 2. I was actually kind of surprised that this game was going to come out. I learned about it in October, I think. I was randomly browsing a release list for DS. I don't even know why I was, and it said Devil Summoner 2. I thought it was a typo. I thought this was something that was going to come out on the 3DS, or maybe there's a 3DS version, and no. It's a sequel to the original Devil Summoner, and it's on the DS, which made me really happy because I'm still in love with the DS and I'm not too big on the 3DS yet. Especially since I like tactical RPGs on the DS. I think the DS lends itself to more methodical, more turn-based games.
Yeah.
Especially, I don't know if you've tried playing an action game. Like, I have a DSi XL, and I haven't played a version of the DS yet, whether it be the DS, the DS Lite, or the DSi XL, where action games are really fluid. Like, my fingers usually start to hurt after a while.
You know, I will say this about the 3DS. The new analog stick is very, very comfortable.
Well, that's good. Ergonomics are really a big thing in regards to gaming.
Especially handheld gaming.
Right.
Gotta be so comfortable.
Yeah. But despite that shortcoming, of course, the DS has a fantastic library of games.
They do.
And I got this one. It is unfortunate that this game came out a week before Mass Effect 3. So, like, I tried cramming in as much of this game as I could before Mass Effect 3 came out. I don't even know if I'm halfway yet. I'm 10 hours in, which is a good sign because DS RPGs tend to be on the shorter side. So 20 hours is usually what you call long on the DS, but I'm 10 plus hours in and I'm not halfway done. I'm cool with that. And it's fun. I mean, it's what I wanted. It's kind of just more of the same.
Shin Megami game. You love them.
Yeah, exactly. You have your customizable rosters with your customizable monsters. There's new maps and challenges. The story is kind of... I don't think it's as strong as the first one, but like I said, I'm not even halfway through yet. I have found I am resisting the urge already to rage quit.
Oh.
Yeah. Not because of the challenge. I like the challenge of Shin Megami 10 games. I've never truly quit a Shin Megami 10 game for difficulties. I've taken an extended break. Like, I took a 3-month break from Persona 4 when a boss, wrecking me, basically. But I went back and beat that game. But there's, like, apparently every party member can die permanently.
So, like, you'd never get him back?
Yeah, but it's all story-based. So, it's not in combat. So if you don't follow, it's an arcing story with forks and all this kind of stuff. And if you don't follow the correct path, that character dies.
That's interesting.
It is. And me being who I am, I want to save all the characters because I want to see how these characters play out. Because to me, that's the natural flow of the story. And I'm at a part now where I think I saved a little too late and I went down the wrong path and one of the characters is just going to die and I can't find a way out.
You wouldn't have saved Ares in Final Fantasy VII, would you?
Not when I originally played the game.
But now you would?
Maybe. That's kind of hard to speak on because Ares' death was so poignant. You know, like it had a... That was an exclamation mark in that game and was supposed to, like, draw emotions out of you. Stuff like this doesn't really draw too many emotions out of you. You just see the sprite dying. You're like, no.
Not the sprite.
No. But, yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm just taking a break from it currently, not because of the rage quit aspect, but because I have Mass Effect 3.
Now, how's Mass Effect 3?
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think we need to talk too much about that because we all know how much of a raging hard-on you have for Mass Effect.
Oh yes, completely. I will say a couple of things. I haven't seen the ending yet because that's what everybody's complaining about. I have not seen Tali's face yet, which is another thing everybody's complaining about. And hopefully I will get to both of those things shortly. I am towards the end of that game.
Yeah, I have heard a lot about the ending, how people are really up in arms about it. I'm not really sure what they could have done to upset so many people, but
I don't know either. And hopefully nobody like blows up the Facebook or the mail account and like or the Twitter
and spoils it.
I will blow up the internet if this happens. There will be a revolt. However, like, I'm not afraid of it. I know a lot of people are complaining, but a lot of people complain about a lot of different things.
Yep. It's just a video game. Remember, kids. Yeah.
And now there's talks of BioWare, like, trying to amend the ending.
Oh, don't.
No. And I completely... The only game that I agreed that they had to amend the ending was Fallout 3. And that's because that ending was stupid.
What... Don't spoil it, but can you say like why it was stupid without spoiling it?
There is a tragedy that is easily avoidable, but they use a Deus Ex Machina, or they use terrible writing to get around it.
Okay.
And they did rewrite that ending in the way that it should have been, but because like it seemed very lazy that they wouldn't let you, especially with a game that's supposed to be branching out and supposed to be your own choices.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the ending had to be a certain way, you could not modify it at all. But with Mass Effect, this has been, I don't foresee any silly stuff happening like that. And you know, like I said, I've heard people whine and complain, but as of now, I don't think BioWare should rewrite the ending. Like I said, I haven't seen it yet. If it's as bad as Fallout 3's, then I may change my opinion. But people are just complaining that it's not what they thought it was going to be, and good for BioWare for doing that, because in our culture, with our television series, with our movies and our video games and our books, there's too many predictable endings.
Especially in movies.
Oh, you know what the ending to a movie is going to be within the first 5 minutes.
Except Titanic. I didn't know what was going to happen.
Do you know what's going to happen now, right?
It was a joke, but...
Yes, geez. I was going along with it.
Okay.
Anyway, aside from that, the thing I'm surprised about is the multiplayer. It's actually more fun than I thought.
That I heard that too. I heard the multiplayer is just as good as even like Call of Duty or Battlefield.
I can't speak to that because I haven't played those multiplayers. However, all it is basically you shoot hordes of things. It's completely cooperative. There is no actual competition. What's cool about it is that you just have so many classes to pick from.
Yeah, I hear it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And I'm happy to say that it is enjoyable enough that I continue to play it.
Okay, so is that what you're up to? Is that pretty all you've much. Got for me?
Pretty much. My girlfriend wants me to say that I'm going to beat Final Fantasy 13 2 sometime in the near future, but I'm not going to tell that lie on air. I will beat that game, but I don't know if it's going to be anytime soon.
As long as that Moogle talks, I will not play.
Well, the Moogles, it has a quirky personality.
That's cool, but he shouldn't be talking.
Okay. What have you been up to, Norm?
Well, I've actually been playing Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, really?
I'm almost done with the first disc.
Now, I originally got it on PS3. How many discs is it on the 360?
It's 3 discs.
Okay. That's not that bad.
Now, I've talked to you about this a little bit, but I think it's really good.
Yes.
I think it's a really good game, and people complain, oh, it's too linear. Oh, the combat's not all you have to do is hit X mm-hmm. or whatever, or A on the Xbox controller, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
As far as the linearity, I think you and I have talked about this. One of the most frustrating things in some of those RPGs is running around a dungeon, like trying to find all the treasure, because we're just, you know, OCD. We have to find everything, and then you come to a dead end. There's nothing there.
Yeah. It's incredibly frustrating.
Well, I think that's what they did in 13. They tried to fix that. Like, it's pretty obvious where all the treasure is, and it's kind of nice. I don't have to run around everywhere. I don't have to spend half the game looking for something.
So let me ask you this in regards to Final Fantasy 13 and some of the changes that it presented to the norm of JRPGs.
Okay.
In Final Fantasy 13, you really can't talk to NPCs.
Yep.
Because you're not really in towns. Do you find that to be a detriment or an improvement to the genre?
I don't really have an issue with it. Again, the game it takes out the
fluff.
The fluff, yeah. It takes out the sort of the mundane experience of going into a town. It's like, okay, you have to talk to everybody twice. That's like the rule.
Right.
You don't have to do that anymore. It just kind of focuses on the combat and the story. The story so far is, it's okay. I think the combat is excellent.
Yes.
Really fast-paced. There is a lot of strategy to it. You can't just hit X, especially on boss battles. If you just hit X, the boss will just destroy you.
Exactly.
Very tough game.
Well, I was watching this game being played by someone, and all they were doing was hitting auto battle. I'm like, well, that kind of takes the enjoyment out of the game. Well, it gets the job done. Whatever. Watch what happens when you get to a boss battle. Sure enough, get to a boss battle, only hit auto battle. You get destroyed, and he was complaining that the boss was too hard. Then manually input the commands.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to hit auto battle. Okay, then there's not something wrong with the game. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah, you got a paradigm shift a whole bunch, and it's cool. You can create your own paradigms.
Right.
I have found a paradigm that I'm really liking. You know, I've got one medic, I've got a ravager, and then I've got an assault guy.
Commando,
yeah.
And yeah, that's usually, yeah, I agree. That was the one I ran with the most.
I just think the game gets a lot of bad reaction when I think they need to look at it as, no, it's not the same as every other JRPG, but that doesn't make it a bad game.
Right.
I think it's a great game.
Yeah, a lot of people are just so resistant to change, and they're so resistant to what is outside of their box.
Yeah, remember Final Fantasy XII? People complained about that, too.
Oh, of course.
And that game was great.
Yeah, but resisting change degrades the art. We have to look for new things. We have to explore both, you know, design-wise, on the creative side. Just, you have to keep pushing the boundaries, or otherwise we stagnate.
If everyone painted the Mona Lisa, there would be no Salvador Dalis of the world.
Am I going to reveal how uncultured I am by not?
It's art. Like, if somebody painted the same painting style over and over, we wouldn't have like new and interesting art styles.
Right.
Just saying.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I like Final Fantasy 13 so much that I bought the sequel. So.
And 13 too, you know, if there's more exploring in that game, there's side quests, you know, they really tried to appeal to the people that hated 13.
Right.
So, I don't know. I bet I would probably really like 13 too.
With the exception of the talking Moogle.
The talking Moogle can go screw itself. I can't believe they have that in there.
You can just hit mute every time it talks.
I'll do that.
Trust me, it doesn't say too much story related.
I don't know if it's just his voice. I think he should sound like Danny DeVito. I think that's what the Moogle should sound like.
That's one way, I guess, to do it.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I never went through Final Fantasy VI and saw Mog and
Danny DeVito.
I never thought it.
I'll have to play some Danny DeVito voiceover for our viewers so they can get an idea of what Moggles sound like.
Oh, Jesus Lord. So other than that game, have you been playing too much else?
I've been playing a lot of Madden. And people hate on the Madden, but you know, Steven, you and I love the NFL.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love my Madden. Like,
so since you've been playing Madden, have you done us the favor of trying to get the Dolphins to the Super Bowl?
I'm playing a franchise with the Dolphins. I'm 11-0 right now.
Okay, because Norman, if you can't make it to the Super Bowl in a game with the Dolphins, we have no chance of ever seeing the Dolphins go to the Super Bowl in our lifetime.
I'm going for the perfect season again. And I'm playing on the highest difficulty setting.
Ooh. Who's your quarterback?
Chad Henne.
What?
Yeah.
You got Big Head as your quarterback?
Yeah, oh, you know, he's doing okay. But, yeah, I'm playing Madden. I know people will hate, but I enjoy sports games. I grew up playing sports my whole life, and I'm a big fan of the Miami Dolphins, so I will buy Madden every year because it's the only thing I have, really. It sucks that there's no competition for the Madden games.
Yeah, I think competition would breed a better style of game.
It is. Madden is it is a good football game, but it does have some things that I think could be a lot better.
Right.
And what else? I just redid my game room. It was kind of in disarray, so I had to reset up all the consoles and get everything going again. It was a mess.
Huh. The feng shui wasn't sitting with you too well?
It wasn't. I was way off. Yeah. And I also just picked up some Nintendo 64 games. I got GoldenEye.
Ooh.
I got Pilot Wing 64. Mm-hmm. Nintendo's official tech demo game. That's what I call it. That's all it is. It's just a way to show off the system. You notice it always comes out on launch day. They did it for the Super Nintendo. They had Pilot Wings. They had Pilot Wings 64 on launch day for the 64. And they had Pilot Wings Resort for the 3DS.
That is good of you to notice that pattern, because I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I think it's just tech demo. They're like, oh, look what our new system can do. Fly around this hang glider and be amazed. But it is a lot of fun. Flying that hang glider is fun. I also got Kirby 64, which is kind of a weaker Kirby game. And I also got Conker's Bad Fur Day, probably the most disgusting game you'll ever play.
So is there anything you're looking forward to in the gaming realm?
Oh, yeah. Assassin's Creed 3.
Really?
Oh, my God, yeah.
It
takes place during the Revolutionary War.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you just...
That's really the only reason.
Okay.
See, as you know, Steven, I like history a lot.
I would never have guessed.
Yeah, well, my focus was on American history, mostly Civil War era. But, you know, Revolutionary War, I'll take it.
Huh. You're going to have to tell me how it is, because after trying Assassin's Creed 1, I ignored that series.
Yeah, 1 was underwhelming. I never played any of the others, but I will give 3 a chance simply because of the story.
That's a good reason to give a game a chance.
What about you, Steven?
I'm not too terribly excited about anything immediately coming up. I'm kind of just browsing the news and seeing if there's anything. I want to see what's going to happen in E3 and what bombs are going to get dropped.
You dropped a bomb on me.
Oh, memories.
Good song.
But, yeah. But other than that, not really. And it's kind of good because since last year, up until the release of Mass Effect 3, I have just been bombarded with games. I mean, they went through... You know, Batman, went through Skyrim, going through Mass Effect 3, still have to complete Rayman, still have to complete Devil Summoner, still have to do Final Fantasy 13-2. There's, and probably a lot of stuff that I'm completely missing out on. I need time to recuperate. So, I mean, I've said that I'm excited for, you know, BioShock, but
yeah, BioShock Infinite.
But other than that, I'm gonna try to finish what I have on my plate currently.
Yeah, I need to do the same. I can't be buying all these new games and there's games I haven't even beaten yet.
Right. So,
like Final Fantasy V, I haven't beaten it yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I still have to beat that.
Play the Game Boy Advance version.
Well, that's the one I have.
Okay. That's the version with the best translation.
Yeah, and I don't want to get the one on PlayStation because of the loading.
Actually, the loading on the PlayStation version is not too awful. It's not as bad as, let's say, Chrono Trigger was on the PlayStation.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, because I have it. I have Chrono Trigger on the PlayStation, and yeah. I could not stand the loading.
Yeah, it's nowhere near as bad as Chrono Trigger. The load time is actually pretty good, but it's the translation's just awful on the PlayStation.
Because, I believe that.
Yeah, the pirate character always talks in a pirate accent. So he/she says R a lot.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
Well, that's it for our main topic. If you want to tell us what you're up to, you can email us at level7cast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at level7cast, and we're also on the Facebooks. So, we'll come back with our last three topics, and then, Steven, we have some mail.
Yes, we actually have a couple letters.
Yeah. So we'll get into that, and we'll be right back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Steven, last three topics, and we got some mail.
Yay.
More Diablo 3 news, and it's still not a release date. There will be no PvP at launch due to time constraints. Instead, it will be released later in a patch for the game. How big of a blow is this to the game?
Financially, it's not. People are still going to pick up Diablo 3. PvP is not a deal breaker for the people who are going to buy it at launch, I don't think.
No, it's not.
Now, for some people, I think it's going to dilute the experience because there are people from Diablo 2 who were hardcore PvP players, and there are people that are going to be coming from other MMORPGs that are really big into PvP. So that may... And you know, there are other people online that want to have a competitive environment, so that may dilute the experience. I don't, however, seeing it diluting everything. You know, they want to get the game out to us, which is nice, because I'm tired of talking about it. I just kind of want to play it.
Well, I guess I feel like this kind of goes against Blizzard's whole philosophy of we'll release it when it's ready. And I feel like if it doesn't have PvP, then the game's not ready.
Is that Blizzard's philosophy or Steam's? Not Steam, Valve's philosophy. Because I know that's what Valve says.
Well, but if it, you know, Blizzard, they said this about Diablo 3 earlier, like after they did the beta and all that, they said, "Oh, the release is going to be delayed because we have to clean up some things, and the game will be ready when it's ready." Why aren't they doing that for PvP?
I do agree with the sentiment that release it when it's ready. Don't rush out anything. But for me, as long as the single player is not rushed out, I'm not going to care too terribly much. Because that's what I want. I want not the single player, but you know the actual story. I don't really care about PvP. The only time I PvP'd in Diablo 2 was when I accidentally hit hostile and someone destroyed me in one hit. So, in the wait what category of gaming news, there's a new Neo Geo handheld system being released. The Neo Geo X is reported to be coming out in a few months. Are we about to witness another failed system?
I think, I don't even know if you would count this as a system. You know what it reminds me of, like, you know, those, like, those people, like, re-release, like, the Nintendo hardware. They call it, like, the Retron 3-in-1.
Yeah.
Like, reproduction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. But it's just a little handheld Neo Geo. I don't even know. Are there going to be new games on this thing? Or is it just the Neo Geo library?
I don't know. I saw the news and was like, oh, we got to talk about it. I haven't even seen a tech demo for it. Have you?
No. It's supposed to be preloaded with 20 Neo Geo games. Like Metal Slug and Fatal Fury and all those Neo Geo games.
Yeah, I mean, and if it does come out and it's only reaching for the Neo Geo library, I don't really see too many killer apps in that direction.
No, like I said, I compare it to like a reproduction system. I don't even think it's not meant to compete with the 3DS or Vita. I think it's just a fun, nostalgic Neo Geo handheld.
Sure, and hopefully that's what it is, because you wouldn't think that of all the markets to try to compete in, you go after the handheld market. I understand that the Vita and the 3DS maybe not be, or probably not performing as well as, say, their predecessors, but they still have a lock.
Yeah, they do.
Like, I could see you try sneaking into the next console cycle, you know, with the PS4, the 720, and the Wii U all come out, maybe trying to sneak something in there, especially with some of the uncertainty that's revolving around all those systems. But to go into the handheld market, that's a tall order if this is a real system. Now, if it's one of those throwback things that you're talking about, sure. Yeah, let's go for it.
It'd be fun. Neo Geo fans would probably really appreciate it.
Yeah.
There are rumors that Bethesda is about to announce an Elder Scrolls MMO. I'm glad I'm asking you this question, Steven. If this were true, how excited would you be?
Yeah, it's all part of my evil plot, because I actually put it there so you could ask me about it. Because I am incredibly excited about this.
So you would actually play this?
Well, I would play it if it were, let's say it were Skyrim, and you just went online with it.
Okay.
So, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. That would be
cool. I would be all over for it. If it's a PC thing, I'm probably not gonna play it. If it's an MMO that's modeled more after like WoW or something like that, I'm not gonna play it. I want something that's basically, give me a patch to Skyrim where I can play online with other people.
That would be kick-ass.
It would. And that's what I'm hoping it is, because as of now, they're just saying an MMO. So we don't really know too many specifics about it. There was a gentleman I was talking with who was thinking about getting Skyrim. He was talking to me and another guy, and he thought it had online. And he was really stoked to get it, and he was going to get it and play with us. And then we told him that it was strictly single-player. But in talking with him, it sparked the idea of, let's take Oblivion or Skyrim online, and that would just be amazing.
You know, if any game series were to compete with World of Warcraft, Elder Scrolls would do a hell of a job.
It would. I think that it really could dismantle it, but I want to see it, like I said, on the consoles. I'm not...
Yeah, I think they should do PC, 360, and PS3. If they could find a way to get all three platforms in the same world, that would, imagine how many people would play that game.
Yeah. The thing that would kill it for me is if it were pay to play.
Oh, not a fan of the pay to play.
No, I'm not a fan of monthly fees. I think if I bought the game, that should be it. That cost racks up pretty quick.
That might be a new main topic in the future.
How much I hate pay to play?
Yeah, because I slightly disagree. But
okay,
we'll talk about it later.
Okay.
We'll duke it out.
Okay, we can, sure.
Steven, it's time for some mail.
Yay.
DeVille is here!
Ooh.
Let me pull these up. So we actually have three letters that have came through.
Okay.
So I apologize to anybody's name. I'm going to get wrong. If it helps you feel better, just think I'm illiterate. Okay. And I'm just messing up.
I don't know how you graduated high school.
Or college. The first one's from Chris Delaney. And it's a pretty long email.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how he appreciates the podcast and things like that. One of the things he actually asks something towards the end about how there's a myth or a rumor that your credit card holds as much information as a Nintendo cartridge.
Huh.
And wondering whether it's true or not.
I've never heard that before.
I never have either. But if it were, that'd be kind of neat. You know, little NES games on your, you know, just to slide through.
Well, you know how that rumor might have started because of those e-reader games, the Nintendo e-reader games. Do you remember those?
Yeah, yeah,
those
I
were those were like cards.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe it. I can't confirm if it's true or not, but I believe it.
Right. I think it would be at least a neat idea. I don't necessarily know that it would have the backings to support itself financially, but it would be really cool. But like I said, the emails, you know, kind of long, and just, you know, telling us a couple things, and we wanted to tell Chris, you know, thanks for emailing, and we're going to keep trying to do what we do.
We appreciate any support.
Absolutely.
Who's our next email?
The next one is from our number one fan from Australia, David Wilson, again.
G'day, David. Okay, that was wrong of me. I had to do it. Sorry.
Okay. That's fine. So, I'll stay away from that stuff. His is a little shorter. Hi, guys. I have played Minecraft for around 200 hours over a year.
Holy Jesus.
I know. And it's one of my favorite games of all time, next to Half-Life and Fallout 3 / New Vegas. What are your thoughts on Minecraft? Have you ever played it? What do you think of it?
Okay, I'll go first. I've never played Minecraft. When I was teaching, my students loved Minecraft. They wanted me to play it so bad, but I've never played it. I can't say anything about it.
Yeah.
Steven?
I haven't played it. I have had a friend that was kind of into it. I'm not too big into sandboxish games, and Minecraft is the definition of sandbox.
No joke.
Because you're just creating the world around you. I think, you know, for the people who... It's one of those games where I'm not going to knock it, but I'm not... It's just not my cup of tea. Excuse me. So,
that's it.
Yeah, I wish we could have more in-depth.
Maybe we'll force ourselves to play it together, and then we'll talk about it on a show.
Maybe
you and I can play some Minecraft together.
Ooh, would it be like when we used to play StarCraft together?
Oh yeah, that was good stuff.
It's good times.
StarCraft.
So our third and final one is from Liam. Gentleman doesn't give his last name. And his email reads, Norman, this is specifically for you, Norm. What are your thoughts on Mother 3 not being released in America? I don't really know anyone besides myself who loves the Mother franchise, so I'd like to hear someone else's idea about it. Thank you.
The Mother series is insanely popular in Japan. It has a cult following in the United States. The reason Mother 3 probably hasn't been released over here is because it's just a business decision. When you have a game that's kind of not like mainstream, Nintendo's probably not going to translate it. They got really burned by translating Earthbound. I'm sure they lost a lot of money. It's why the card is so rare these days. I actually went to the game store recently, the local one here. It was $150 for Earthbound. Just the cart.
Not even boxed?
No box, no strategy guide. Ooh. So it's just a business decision. It's really disappointing because Mother 3 would be awesome to have. Even a virtual console release would... If they put that out on the 3DS, you know how many people would buy a 3DS just to play Mother 3?
Yeah, I think I would actually look at a 3DS for that.
Yeah, it's disappointing, Liam. It really is. It's just business. It's just the way it works. That's really the only thing I can think of why they haven't done it. They haven't released Earthbound on the virtual console for a business decision as well, because Earthbound contains a lot of music samples that are really influenced by pop songs from that era, so there'd be copyright problems, and Nintendo doesn't want to fight it, you know. So, yeah, I'm sorry. It makes me want to cry.
Sadness,
yeah,
overcomes you.
But Liam, it's awesome you're a Mother fan, because I'm a huge Mother fan, and I'm trying to get Steven to play it more.
Did I not just tell you about how much is on my plate currently?
Well, throw Earthbound on there.
Oh my god.
Just throw it on there.
That would be we'll try to work that in as a dessert, I guess.
Yeah, it's worth playing, trust me.
Yeah, I know.
Well, Steven, let's wrap things up. Do you have any final thoughts, and what's for dinner tonight?
My final thoughts are my dinner. We're having a leftover corned beef brisket. Ooh. We cooked way too much yesterday for St. Patty's Day.
St. Patty's.
So that's right. I'm not a heavy drinker, so instead of drinking, we cook corned beef.
I'm not a big fan of corned beef and cabbage, gotta be honest.
Didn't do cabbage, because I hate cabbage.
Okay, just so I would have probably enjoyed your corned beef brisket.
Yeah, we just did the corned beef. We had some mashed potatoes on the side. And
yes, much better side.
Exactly. That's what I'm having tonight.
Okay. Well, that's it for this episode of the Level 7 Podcast. Until next time, take care.
Goodbye.